Well, God bless you in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, and it's the 21st of November 2018, and I was just going through some scripture as God was putting in my heart, and I just want to share my heart here in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, 2, and it says, "As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." So as we receive the Spirit of God, we've been born again, we've been taught and encouraged. That's how we should continue. We shouldn't deviate from the gospel that we've been taught. And God wants us to be rooted and built up in Christ, knowing who we are, knowing what we receive, knowing what we have. And we should abound with thanksgiving. We got so much to be thankful for what God has done in Christ for us. And also, I'd just like to say happy Thanksgiving for tomorrow for the believers in the US of A. And in verse 8 of Colossians 2, it says, "Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and feigned deceit, after the traditions of man, and after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." Anything that is not after Christ, we don't really want to know about. It's everything concerning what Jesus Christ has accomplished for us today as believers that we want to learn, that we want to understand. And this word, it says, "Beware lest any man spoil." And this word, spoil, means seduce you through philosophy. You know, world's ideas, different people's ideas of how we should live and move and how life should be. And feigned deceit, after the traditions of men. You know, the Pharisees had their traditions, which made the power of God of none effect. After the rudiments of this world, and not after Christ. And the word philosophy, I looked up. Thea says it's the love of wisdom, used either of skill for, or skill in any art or science, any branch of knowledge, used once in the New Testament of theology, or rather theosophy, of certain Jewish ascetics, which busies itself with refined and speculative inquiries into the nature of classes of angels, into rituals of the Mosaic law, and the regulations of Jewish tradition respecting practical life. So we're not to go after any of those things. These things bring us into bondage, and we don't need to add anything to what Christ has already accomplished for us. In verse 9 it says, "For in Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. For in him dwelleth all the fullness, the completeness of the Godhead bodily." And verse 10 says, "And you, those who have received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Saviour, are complete in him." You are complete in Christ, which is the head of all principalities and powers. So you are completely taken care of in Christ. There is nothing that you need to add to your salvation. Christ has accomplished everything for us. And God is the one that's working in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. As sons and daughters of God and representatives of Jesus Christ, our focus as believers really should be to reach out to those that are lost. See, the world is a wilderness, and so many people have no vision, no direction or hope in their lives. But God has fully equipped us as believers with everything that we need to manifest his light and to reconcile others back to God through the gospel concerning his son. And see, we know that the gospel means good news. It does not mean fake news or half-truths. We have good news to make known to others. And the good news is concerning what Jesus Christ has accomplished and made available to the world. And that is that they can be set free from bondage, from sickness, from poverty, from loneliness, from devil spirits which affect the mind and body. And that they can receive freedom and deliverance and direction and hope in this life, which we live right now and the one to come. And as born again sons of God, we are complete and we lack nothing. And we've been empowered with Holy Spirit, which is Christ in us, the hope of glory. And we have been given the ministry and word of reconciliation. And ministry is service. And we are born again to serve those whom God puts in front of us. In Colossians chapter 1, we continue. In fact, we go to Colossians chapter 1. We were just in Colossians chapter 2. In Colossians 1:13 it says, "Who, have delivered us from the power of darkness and have translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So God has delivered us from the power, which is exousia, the Greek word exousia, and have translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, whom we have salvation and deliverance. See, we've already have salvation. We already have deliverance. And God has delivered us from the exercise, influence, and jurisdiction, and power, and authority of darkness. And we've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. You are a purchased possession. You are blood brought, and every exercise power of Satan has no authority over you whatsoever. See, Satan and his cohorts have no legal rights, jurisdiction over you. So we do not want to empower them in our lives. We don't want to give away our authority by coming into agreement with the lies that Satan promotes through the world systems. And do not listen to the voice of the enemy who whispers in your ear that you are not who God says you are, that you got to do something. You got to come up with something to get the deliverance. See, it's when we're not satisfied with where we are, then we start to think that we're not complete. And it's just a trick of the enemy. If we know what the scriptures say about our redemption, and we begin to realize our redemption, then we can truly walk in it, and we won't be bewitched. We won't be deceived or seduced. See, when we take the focus off ourself and we place our focus on God and what he has done for us, we begin to live in freedom. See, Satan would have you focused on your problems, your feelings, your lack, your need. He will have you to believe that your salvation is not complete and that there are still things you need to do and practice so that you can truly be saved, or you can be set free, or you can be healed, in order to manifest what God has freely given to us in Christ. Also, now I know a lot of believers, they listen to so many different teachers and teachings from different ministries, from different ministers, and basically, you know, we should just focus on God and what God is saying to us. And we have the Spirit of God, we have the scriptures, we can know. We're not void of understanding. God has given us everything in Christ for us to know, for us not to be deceived. And another key thing is, it's not just enough to listen to a teaching. How about connecting to the teaching? How about getting that in your heart and practicing and applying what you're hearing, what you're being encouraged, what you're being fed? See, when we begin to realize our redemption and our salvation and deliverance and what God has done for us in Christ, we're not going to put up with lies and with those things that would bind us and suppress us, because we are completely, completely, complete in Christ. And there's nothing extra you need to do but believe who you are in Christ and what he's accomplished for us. See, when you truly turn to God and look to him, he will put his desires in our heart so that we can respond and move with him. He will show us what we need to do, where we need to go, what we need to read, who we need to fellowship with. And God has given this ministry to us that we edify and encourage people. And it's the sound doctrine that makes people free. It's sound doctrine that builds faith. See, whenever we speak the word, or whenever we speak the word that God gives us to speak, it will always inspire faith into people. It will always encourage people to live unto God, to look to God, to go to God, to desire from God. And Romans 8:14 says this, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. See, it's in God we live and move and have our being. It's not in your minister. It's not in looking at anything else, philosophies or people's clever wisdom or ideas, but it's in God we live and move and have our being. And we can do that because we've been reconciled to God through the finished and accomplished works of Jesus Christ. When we confess Jesus as Lord and believe God raised him up from the dead, we receive spirit, we receive sonship. So we have direct access and connection to God, and we're to focus on God and what he's delivered us from and through the accomplished works of Jesus Christ. See, sin consciousness also will rob you of your peace and your focus with God. It will bring you and keep you in bondage. If you look at your life and all your imperfections, then you will see yourself as incomplete rather than complete in him. When we look to God, then we see ourselves how God sees us. And he sees you and knows you as complete. He sees you as Christ. So we have to make up our minds to come into agreement with God and we change what we are saying about ourselves. We build our heart with the truth of who we are now in Christ, what we've received, what we have, and we begin to walk in God's completeness. Anything outside of what God has done through Christ will bring you into bondage. See, we're not under the law, but grace. Law is that you got to do something to be in right standing with God, that you got to follow a certain thing. But grace is God's favor to us. And there is no work that you can do that will make you right before God but by believing on Jesus Christ. See, there's no work you can do to save yourself or to make yourself more spiritual or to please God, to get more favor with him. See, the scriptures show us that the just shall live by faith. Faith is the only thing that pleases God. When we believe what he has done, when we believe what he has done through Jesus Christ, and we start to recognize that we are sons, that we're heirs of God, we're joint heirs with Christ, we're seated at the right-hand side of the Father, that we've been given authority, that we have the ministry of reconciliation, that we are righteous and justified and sanctified. This is what pleases God when we believe those truths to us. In Galatians chapter 3, it says in verse 10, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse." See, if we're trying to do things by the law of Moses or by any of our own works, we come under a curse. "For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in the things which are written in the book of the law to do them." If you want to live by anything that's in the Old Testament law, then you live by the law of it. That's what God is basically saying. "But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them." Christ, Jesus Christ, has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. "For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." See, it's through faith in Jesus Christ. He has taken every form of punishment, retribution for being under sin and out of the will of God. He's paid the full price for every sin, right? From the sin that Adam and Eve done by being disobedient to God, then we were cursed through them. The whole world was cursed through their disobedience to God by taking off the fruit of that tree. But Jesus, no, so by Adam's unrighteousness, sin came upon the world because he was disobedient. But by the obedience of Jesus Christ, the free gift of God come. In Galatians 2:20, Paul says, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ living in me." He reckoned his old man dead. "And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by" what? "The law of the Son of God." No, the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. "I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain." When we do things from our own ability and strength, based on fear or based on works, we're frustrating the grace of God. Grace is the favor of God. Grace is that God has done the work in Christ, and God still does the work for us today as we look to him, as we believe him, as we take a stand on his promises. Paul reckoned his old man nature dead, and he was living his life by faith of the Son of God. He recognized what Christ has accomplished for him. He did not frustrate the grace by living under the law, and he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, right? He lived in the grace of God, and grace is that God does the works in our life. We're to live by faith, and faith in what God has done for us through Christ. We receive everything from God by faith. In Galatians chapter 5, if you go there, in verse 1 it says, "Stand fast therefore in the liberty, in the freedom wherewith Christ has made us free." See, Christ has made you free from everything. He was a complete savior. There was nothing left undone. And it says, "And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." This is in the context of the law, right? Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage of the law, or with anything, basically. Anything outside of Christ, don't be entangled with it. Verse 13 says of Galatians 5, "Or brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only Use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed of one another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. That's our life now, is to walk in the Spirit, to live in the Spirit. And ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. See, when we're being led by God, we're going to be do those things that are pleasing in His sight. There's life and peace when we're being led by the Spirit. There's direction, there's deliverance, there's provision. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ. For the law of the, for them that are in Christ Jesus. We are in Christ Jesus, we have the Spirit of God. And verse 2 says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law and sin and death. We've been set free. See, God has provided everything for us, and we are being led by God. When we're submitted to God, when we're humble, when we're looking to Him, we're being led by God. We're under no law. We have great confidence in God's provision, direction for our lives. We will not be working for healing or salvation or thinking that we've got to do certain things to get deliverance and break bondages. Jesus Christ has delivered us from the powers of darkness. And we have to believe that we've been delivered, set free, made whole, safe and sound. Okay, we are complete. Ephesians chapter 2, and in verse 8, it says, for by grace, that's the favor of God, that's God's unmerited divine favor, are you saved through what? Faith. Faith in what? Jesus Christ. And that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. Not of what? Works, lest any man should boast. There's no one that can boast, because Christ has done the lot for us. We just receive it by faith. Everything we do is by faith. Verse 10, for we are His workmanship, masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. See, God has good works for each one of us. And as we look to God and desire His works, He gives them to us to do. That should then be the focus of our life, that we're doing those things that God wants us to do. To be humble and meek and tender before Him. To be encouragers of people, of God's people, and to proclaim the message of the gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation. And this is what we should do. God doesn't want us to focus on ourselves. He wants us to focus on who we are in Christ. And we can walk and manifest all that we've been, that's been made available to us. We will also recognize the need to proclaim the gospel, the good news to others. Okay, and we won't be focused on ourselves, but we'll be focused on God with a burning desire to reach out to those that are lost. We'll be desiring laborers to help us in the field and to minister with the power of God, to see the word of God move throughout all the world. So we just got to recognize who we are in Christ. We don't want to get caught up with debates, arguments, traditions, the rudiments, philosophies, and all these things. But we want to keep things simple in our life. And you know, 1 Corinthians 3 verses 18-19 says, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seem to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. So God wants us to be sharp. Galatians 4:3 says, even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of this world. We're not in bondage to any of this stuff, the elements of the world, the traditions of man, philosophy of man. We're not to be seduced by these things that the adversary promotes through the systems of this world to get our focus of what God has done in Christ for us and who we are now. If it's not after Christ, we're not interested. In Christ, see, we are righteous and justified. Let's have a look at what we are in Christ. Romans 3:24 says, being justified, being made righteous freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9 says, much more then, being now justified by his blood through what Jesus Christ accomplished, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. Verse 19 says in Romans 5, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, that was Adam, so by the obedience of one, Jesus Christ, shall many be made righteous. In Christ we're sanctified. 1 Corinthians 6:11 says, and such were some of you, but you were washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. In Christ we are as he is. 1 John 4:17 says, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. As Jesus Christ is right now, that's who you are. And that's what we believe. In Christ we are God's workmanship, we're his masterpiece. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto what? Good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. In Christ, we've already read it, but we'll read it again. We are complete. Colossians 2:10, and you are complete. In fact, you are completely, completely complete. In him, in Christ, which is the head of all principality and power. In Christ we're delivered, Colossians 1:13, which I read before, who have delivered, Christ has delivered us, or God through Christ has delivered us from the powers of darkness and have translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. In Christ we're healed, 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bare our sins in his body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. In Christ we are prosperous and in health. Beloved, 3 John 2, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as our soul prospereth. In Christ we are glorified. Romans 8:30 says, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified. So we're justified, we're made right before God. And whom he justified, them he also what? Glorified. In Christ we're a new creation. We're not the same anymore. We're new. Our old man, our old person who we were before we received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior is dead. We're to reckon him dead. And in Christ we are a new creation. It says, 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature or creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We're new. In Christ we're not condemned. I read it out earlier on, Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. If you got the Spirit of God, you are in Christ Jesus. In Christ we are royalty. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvellous light. You've been called out of darkness into his marvellous light. In Christ we reign in this life. Romans 5:17, for if by one's man offence death reigned, by one, that was Adam, much more they which received an abundance of grace. See, we've received not just grace, but an abundance of grace and of the what? Gift of righteousness. You can't make yourself righteous. It's a gift of righteousness. Shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. In Christ we're made the righteousness of God. You are the righteousness of God. Wow, the creator of the heaven and the earth, who created everything, who designed me and you, we are the righteousness of him. In 2 Corinthians 5:20 it says, for he hath made him, God has made Jesus to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him, in Christ. In Christ we are the body of Christ and members in particular. 1 Corinthians 12:27 says, now you are the body of Christ. You are the body of Christ and your members in particular. In Christ we're seated in the heavenly places. Ephesians 2:6 says, and have raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In Christ we are the children of God and heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Romans 8:14-16 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. See, we're sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage or servitude again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. See, God is our dad. The Old Testament prophets had the Spirit of God upon them on a condition. If they blew it, they lost the Spirit. But we got Christ in us, the hope of glory. We're sealed to the day of redemption. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. In Christ, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. I'll finish off here. That's in Ephesians chapter 1. And verse 13 says, in whom ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. That Spirit of God is in you and is not going to be taken from you. When Christ comes back, we'll be gathered and we'll meet him in the air. And then we'll come back to rule and reign on this earth. See, we are victorious already right now. It's when we take our eyes off the Lord Jesus Christ, what God has done by him, and who we are, and what he's accomplished for us, and what we have, then we start to become discouraged when we look at the circumstances. Lot's wife looked back as she turned to a pillar of salt. We don't want to become weak, but we want to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We want to keep our eyes looking only to God. We expect from God, and God is working in us, and he's working through us, and he gives us his words to declare. And these words that we get from God are words that build faith into people. They're words that reconcile people back to God. They're words that bring healing, deliverance, and light. And if you're seeking God for an answer to a situation in your life, then go back, if you're a believer, and see what Christ has already accomplished for you. See what's already been done. Don't try and figure out another system. We don't need no more new doctrines from anyone. But we keep it to the simplicity of what God has done in Christ. And this is what something God was just working on my heart to share with you all. I pray it blesses you and that you have a great week. So God bless your heart.